So I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 this morning. We're excited to have Vacation Bible School this week, and I hope you've been praying for that and continue to pray for that. It's always interesting to get to see what I'm going to get to preach from at Vacation Bible School. Preached from an airship one time. That was pretty neat. Anybody remember that? Yeah, preached in front of a pyramid last time. Glad we didn't have any sacrifices in front of the pyramid that year. Here we are on Mystery Island, and we're excited about it and hope you'll keep praying for that. We're in chapter 3 this morning. I want to invite you to stand with me if you're able. We're going to begin reading at verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 10. I appreciated that special ties right into the message. The reality is God is in control of everything. And we understand from last week's message that there's going to be good things and bad things in every part of your life. And it's not necessarily a set of hills and valleys of ups and downs, but good things and bad things are all happening at the same time. God sets them one against another. And the point of it all is we live in a sin-cursed world. And all of us face death at the end of this life. And judgment after death, therefore, we have to keep God in all of our thoughts. We have to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. We have to keep Him first in every part of our lives, because a universe created by God is the only way to make sense of this world in which we live. And it's the only way to live with purpose and joy in the world is by knowing God, your Creator, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and living for His kingdom and His purposes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 10. He says, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go into one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, for the opportunity we have to come and to look into your word. I pray your Holy Spirit would move among us. I pray that you put a hedge about this service today, that you would hold back Satan and his demons, that you would have your word to find good soil in the hearts of every hearer today. Give us ears to hear. Illuminate our understanding and help us to see truths today. Convict our heart of sin and help us to be repentant. Help us to believe your word and to obey it. Father, I pray that you'd help me, for I'm nothing without you, and I pray your blessings on your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Today I want to speak to you about the works of God, and I want you to look at verse 14 again, if you would, please. Now, this is kind of the key to what we're going to talk about today. He said, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks about the works of men. He talks about all the works that we do, and he says everything that we do under the sun, everything we do on this planet without God is vanity and vexation of spirit. You're going to work yourself to death. You're going to work all the days of your life, but then you're going to die one day, and you're going to leave it to somebody else. And there's no value to it unless you bring God into the equation. Now, when you study Ecclesiastes, I think it's important you understand that, that there are these times of absolute despair, that everything is vanity and vexation of spirit. I hated life. I hated all my work that I did, because that's the viewpoint without God. But every once in a while, he injects God back into the equation, and it changes everything. It changes everything. So these times, he kind of goes in and out of this viewpoint of God being in the equation and God being out of the equation. Life under the sun, life without God in things, and life with God in things. And so that's what we see in this passage today. He says, whatever God does, it's gonna be done. God has a final authority in everything. And we're going to kind of go through Ecclesiastes and learn about the works of God. I want you to know, first of all, today, the works of God are eternal. The works of God are eternal. Everything that we do as human beings is temporal. It doesn't matter if you make it out of wood, it's going to rot. It doesn't matter if you make it out of stone, it will crumble. It doesn't matter if you make it out of iron, it will rust. Everything that men have ever made one day will fall apart. The works of men are temporal, but the works of God are eternal. The works of God are eternal. I want you to look at Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes 3, 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. God has made everything that there is, and he made it from the beginning, and he made it to the end. God's works are everlasting. Look at Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12. Psalm 33, verse 10. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Listen, it's 4th of July weekend. I had to throw that verse in. Did you notice how that's tied? The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations, but blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, God has chosen Israel out of this world. He brought Abraham out. He set him apart and made a nation out of him. But we understand that they're not all Jews because they're born after Abraham's lineage. Those are Israel. True Israels are those who are not, it's not those who are circumcised in the flesh, but those who are circumcised in heart. It's those who believed God just like Abraham did. And our faith is in him. Why has America been so blessed? Because in the beginning, God was our father. God was our creator. God was acknowledged as the judge of the universe. Our founding fathers understood that there was a God in heaven. They put their faith in his son, Jesus. They established this nation on his truths. That's why we've been blessed for so long. We have founding fathers who understood that if we wanted to be blessed as a nation, we had to acknowledge God. They understood that everything God did, he did forever. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, 9, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Let's understand today that everything God does is eternal. Everything that man does is temporal, but everything God does is forever. The things that he has established in his word, they will be done. They will be established forever. When we look at the world around us, it's been amazing to when you study history. And you can just imagine in 1930s and 40s in Germany and Poland and some of the areas around Nazi Germany when Adolf Hitler became in power and started to go in and terrorize other nations. A lot of people in the 1940s thought that that was the end of days. They thought the annihilation of the Jews was coming. They thought the world was coming to an end, and rightly so. To have those thoughts when you saw what was going on in the world in that day. Today, we look at everything going on in the world, and I know a lot of Americans a lot of Christians in America are looking at things going on in the world today, and they say, it's got to be, the end's got to be near. The end's got to be near. Look at everything that's going on. And you need to understand, there's going to be a lot of trouble in this world before it gets really bad. Amen. It's going to get really bad before it gets really, really, really bad. You understand that just because we're Christians, we're not immune to the problems of life. Listen, America can have war right here in America. It's happened before. It can happen again. Amen. Pestilence and disease can happen. Famine can happen anywhere in the world. And we need to understand that it's not about the here and now. It's about the eternal. We've got to keep an eternal perspective because the works of God are forever. What does that mean for us? It means that, yeah, what happens here and now matters. Yes, the things that are happening in our society and our culture matter. But what matters most is the souls of men and women and where they'll spend eternity. Because one of the greatest works of God is that he saves the souls of those who trust in Jesus Christ, and he saves them forever. Amen. He begins a good work in you when you trust in Jesus, and he'll finish that work. The works of God are eternal. The works of God are final. The works of God are final. What people do are temporal. What people do, the works of men are temporal. The works of men are fickle. We're here a little, and we're there a little. I tell my kids all the time they've got the attention span of a gnat, right? And I know where they got it from. And I'm not saying their mom, in case you're wondering. Listen, we're fickle. I'm really good at starting projects. I love to do new things. I like to research them, and the internet has changed my life. I mean, if you want to do a new project, there's a YouTube video for how to do anything. I love to start new projects. I love to learn new things. I love to get them going. And then I love to abandon those projects to start another project. Amen. Right? Am I the only one that does that? I don't think so. See, we're fickle. We work here a little and we work there a little and we do all these different things. But God, he's not that way. God, what he does is eternal. What God does is final. It's final. Ecclesiastes 3:14. He said, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. What God does is forever, and what God does, we can't change. Now, I think it's important for us to understand some things about the will of God, and I want to share some thoughts with you. This is Adrian Rogers brought these things out in his book, What Every Christian Ought to Know. But he talks about the will of God, and I think a lot of people get confused about God's will. When they look at what's going on in the world, they say, well, there can't be a God in heaven, because if there's really a loving God in heaven, then all these bad things can't be going on in the world. But you need to understand some things about God and his will. What God does is eternal. What God does is final. God has something that Adrian Rogers called his prevailing will, and it's a great way to understand it. There is God's overarching plan for mankind, and it will happen. One day, this world will be burned up with a fervent heat. One day, he will bring down a new heaven and a new earth. One day, Jesus Christ will rule and reign forever. One day, all tears will be wiped away from the eyes of every saved person. One day, Satan and his demons will be locked up in the lake of fire, thrown into that lake of fire forever and ever. One day, everyone whose name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast in the lake of fire forever, and the smoke of their torments will ascend up forever and forever. One day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And understand something. Every lost person will kneel and profess that Christ is Lord. Does that mean they're going to be saved? No, it means that they're going to understand that he is the judge of the world. And they will kneel before the judge before they're cast into their eternal punishment. And every saved person will kneel before Jesus, and we will declare what we understand now, that Christ is Lord, except them will understand it better than we can ever understand it now. You see, the works of God are eternal. The works of God are final. He has a prevailing will that is going to be done. God's going to do what he wants to with the United States of America. Amen. He set it up, and when it's time, he will take it down. Right. Israel has been scattered, but one day he'll bring them all back together. Listen, he's going to accomplish his purposes. He has a prevailing will, and there's not anything that you or I or any king or any president or any government can do to change the prevailing will of God. Amen. He will have his will accomplished. His works will be done. But God, in his sovereignty, has done something amazing. God has given each and every one of us his permissive will. His permissive will. God has this overarching plan that he's going to accomplish, but he's given each and every individual liberty. He's given each and every individual, he's given us what we know as free will. We know that God has a will for everything, but God is not willing that any should perish. God wills that all men everywhere would pray. So what does that mean? Does that mean that people aren't going to perish? No. People get to choose whether they want to accept Christ or reject Christ. People get to choose whether they pray or they don't pray. It's God's will that all of us would be sanctified, be made more like Christ. But you choose every day whether to be sanctified. You choose every morning whether you're going to look to Christ and turn away from the world. You every day decide whether to put off the old man or to hold on to the old man. Every day you decide whether to put on the new man through the word of God or to leave it alone. Every day we have permissive will. And the things that are happening in the world today, just because they're happening, does not mean that's God's will. But God has permissive will. He allows us to choose how to live our lives. Why is it that bad things happen? Well, because men are sinners. We see some tragedies that happen in this world that are hard to wrap our minds around to understand, but you need to get this. There are so many people who have turned against God, become cynical against God and his word because of the bad things they happen. But get this. God gives you free will, and he also gives everyone else free will. Amen. The problem is, you want God to give you the ability to lie, to watch things you shouldn't watch on TV, to do things you shouldn't do, but you want God to take away someone else's free will to steal your stuff. We want to have our free will to do whatever we want to do, but we want God to limit other people's free will. And guess what, friends? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We are sin-cursed people in a sin-cursed world, and every one of us has free will. God has given us his prevailing will, his permissive will, and he's also given us a personal will. The Bible says in Psalm 37:23 that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I believe that God has a personal will for each and every person on this planet. When he calls us to acknowledge him in all our ways, he directs our steps, right? When we get our eyes fixed on Jesus, when we set our eyes in the front of our head and we look right on, we don't turn to the right hand and we don't turn to the left hand, but we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we can follow that straight and narrow path that he wants for each and every one of us. You see, God has a plan for my life. And he has a plan for your life. And God's plan for your life is not the same as his plan for my life. And we all get the joy of discovering and following the path that he has set for each one of us. And what an incredible thought. That God in heaven cares about any one of us. An amazing thought. I mean, we're tinier than the littlest ant that lives in your yard, and you never give it a thought. But God thinks about us, and he loves us, and he wants to lavish his love and his grace on us. And all we've got to do is acknowledge him and follow the directions that he gives us. His will is eternal. His will is final. Notice, thirdly, his will is immutable. His will is immutable. It's eternal. It's final. It's immutable. What does that mean? It means it's unchanging. It means God's will is unchanging. We look at Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 13 says, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked. What God has done, we're not going to be able to change it. His will is immutable. We know James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Have you ever been frustrated when you voted for somebody to elect them and then they didn't do what they said they were going to do? Have you ever been frustrated by that? I'm surprised because, you know, usually those guys keep their campaign promises. No, it's a joke now. We go into it just expecting they're not going to do what they said they were going to do. I just kind of pick between the lesser of two evils. Right? Isn't that the way we feel about voting today? It's very discouraging. Because they say they'll do one thing and then they do something else. Or maybe they really have changed their mind. But men are fickle. Men are going to change their minds. But listen, you're not going to change God's mind. If he made it crooked, you're not going to straighten it up. And if he straightens it up, you're not going to bend it. God's will is immutable. Our God is unchanging. There is nothing in this world, nothing in this world like our God. He doesn't change. Proverbs 21, 30 and 31, there is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. I'm proud to be an American. I'm thankful to be an American. I'm thankful for presidents who care about our military and who defend our military and who will supply the finances that our military needs. I'm thankful for that. Thankful for presidents who care about our national security matters. But I want you to understand something today. It doesn't matter. If the United States of America has the greatest Air Force in the world, if America has the greatest Navy that's in the world, if America has the best and the most advanced weaponry in the world, it doesn't matter if God's against us. Matter. Hey, we even got Space Force now. Anybody else think that's cool? Yeah, some of you are just geeky enough like me to think that's cool. Anybody notice that the logo for Space Force looked a lot like something from Star Trek? Anybody else notice that? Yeah, Brother Aaron noticed that, and I knew he would. See? See, listen, what is it? We're going to put billions of dollars into all of this weaponry, billions of dollars into our military. And in the Bible, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. Listen, if you got foot soldiers and you go against an army that's got horses, you're in trouble, right? Well, if you got horses but you go against an army that's got chariots, you're in trouble. Well, if you got wooden chariots and you go against an army that's got iron chariots, then you're in trouble. And that's the way it's always been, except for this. It didn't matter who Israel faced. It didn't matter how many they had. It didn't matter how advanced their weaponry was. When God was with Israel, no one could stand against them. Gideon took 300 and he faced at least 130,000. Guess what? They won. God did it over and over and over and over again. And the United States of America needs to understand today that the only reason we stand or fall is what we do with God and his word. God is eternal. His works are final. His works are immutable. You're not going to change him. There's no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And people are really, really smart today. They really are. They're the most intelligent generation that's ever lived. All you have to do is ask them and they'll tell you. People think that they're smarter today than they've ever been before. And I want to tell you that I could not disagree more. I think that there was more intelligence with Adam and Eve, with their sons, with Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth. I think there was more knowledge and understanding and intelligence then than there is now. I don't think that mankind has gotten smarter. We may have more technological advances, but I think that mankind continues to suffer the effects of sin and the curse of sin. We're not actually getting any smarter. Now, some of you may not agree with that. You may be confused by that, but I would just say go home and turn on the news for about 20 minutes and tell me how smart the world is. Watch some YouTube videos of what people do for entertainment today and tell me how we've gotten smarter. God's unchangeable. Man has many devices, but what God says, that's going to be done. The works of God are eternal, they're final, they're immutable, and they're unsearchable. They're unsearchable. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the works of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, and he said, I wanted to see what there is to know on this planet. And he said, I can't figure it out. It's beyond my understanding. There are men and women in the world today who think they've got it all figured out. I heard an atheist scientist say just the last couple of years, he said, we're within milliseconds of the beginning of the creation of the universe to understand all that there is. Very humble man. Do you understand how ridiculous of a claim that is? You guys all know I'm a young earth creationist. I believe what the Bible gives us as record is fact. I believe everything was created around 6,000 years ago. That makes me crazy in the world today. I can live with that. I understand that there are Christians who believe other things. They believe in long ages and all of those things. But help me out. Whether you think it was 6,000 years ago or you think it was 13 billion years ago, how arrogant is it to think that you know what happened within milliseconds of the beginning? Unless, in fact, you have an eyewitness record account. And you can open this book and you can read, in the beginning, God. God's ways are unsearchable. It's the joy of the Christian to look at the universe around us, to look at what God has made and to search him out. It's the joy of the Christian to explore this universe that God has made. From the tiniest particle of the atom to the farthest galaxy that we can see, we get to explore God's creation and understand that it was made by our Savior, Jesus Christ. But we'll never understand it all. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Everything that exists in the universe was made by him. It's of him, it's through him, it's to him, everything. And that's why he alone gets all the glory. His ways, his judgments are unsearchable. They're past finding out. If your God is one that you can know everything about and understand everything about, that's not much of a God. When Isaiah talked to the idolaters, he said, you go out into the forest, you cut down a tree, and you cut some of it up for firewood to warm your house. Some of it you cut up to cook your supper on. And the rest of it, you take it to a man, and he carves it into an image, and you bow down and worship it. I mean, you sit down and worship the tree that you cut down. That's not much of a God, is it? And the same thing in the world today. There are people who think that they can reduce God to something they can understand. God is more than we'll ever be able to understand. His ways are unsearchable. There are things that we're not going to know and understand. And that's a beautiful thing. That God is so far above us. Unsearchable, unknowable, and universal. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 5 and 6. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. We don't know the way of the spirit. We don't know. We don't understand how that baby is formed in the womb. And we do not know the works of God who has made everything. Everything that God has done, they're unsearchable. His works are unknowable. And his works are universal. His works are universal. John chapter 1 tells us, Colossians chapter 1 tells us, that everything that exists in the universe was spoken into existence by Jesus Christ himself. You can't find anything that exists that wasn't made by Jesus. You say, what about our technology? What about that projector and screen, the computer, the smartphone in my pocket? None of that exists without the things that he has made. Mankind can't create anything. We can take what's created and we can modify it, but we cannot create. He is the creator of all things. I tell you, the works of God are eternal. They're final. They're immutable, unsearchable, unknowable, and universal. Man's work is temporal. Man's work is fickle. Man's work is predictable. Man's work is futile. But what's the purpose of it all? Look back at Ecclesiastes 3:14. Why is it that we look at all the works of God and we see the work that he's done? We understand. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. Why is it that God does all these eternal, final, unknowable, unsearchable, incredible, awesome, powerful works? Why is it that God does all of the works that he does? He does them so that we would learn to fear before him. Ecclesiastes 5:7, for in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. Ecclesiastes 7:16-18. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Very quickly, verse 16. Don't make yourself better than you are. Don't be self-righteous. He's not saying don't do too much good. You can't do too much good. He's saying don't be self-righteous. Don't make yourself better than you really are. And then he says, don't be wicked. If you're too wicked, if you're self-righteous, you're going to destroy yourself. If you're wicked, you're going to die. Verse 18, it is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. A lot of people who are religious today are self-righteous. They look at how good they are, how holy they are. I don't do these bad things that other people do. Look at all the good things that I do. They're self-righteous. They're destroying themselves because their faith is not in God. They have no fear of God, but they have pride in themselves, and destruction will come. You have other people who are wicked. They have no fear of God at all. They think that they can eat, drink, and be merry. They can eat it up, drink it up, smoke it up, do it up, live it up. But God is the judge. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. In America today, we've become too smart for God. We think we have no need of God. We live in a post-Christian society. We live in an atheistic, hedonistic world today. It says, I don't need God. There is no God. I'm too smart for God. But listen, one day they'll face God. And because they have no fear of God, they're in danger. Ecclesiastes 8:11-13. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Hey, you ought to mark that verse, highlight it, underline it. Save it in your phone. This verse applies so much to the justice system in America today. What does he say? The sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. What's he saying? What happens today? Listen, I can commit just about any crime in America today, the worst crime that you could imagine, and I promise you, my judgment, that whatever sentence I get is not going to be taken, it's not going to be done speedily. It may take months or years before I even go to trial, and even if I'm convicted, it'll take years before anything's ever done. People see that. And there's no fear. Right. Now, some of you grew up in homes where when you did something stupid, mama took care of business right away. Who was that? Yep. All right. Then others of you grew up in home where mama didn't take care of business. She just said, wait till your daddy gets home. Any of those? Wait till your daddy gets home? Yeah, how you doing? Now, some of you, and probably because God knew you needed it, some of you got it both. Who was that? Yeah. Mama gets you, then daddy gets you when he got home, right? Right. Now, I've noticed this. I've noticed that when I got in trouble and trouble was coming immediately, it changed my attitude. I noticed when there were times when mom, maybe she was just tired. She's tired. Tom, she was just tired of messing with me. And when trouble, the punishment didn't come immediately, there was always a glimmer of hope. Maybe she'll forget. Anybody else ever have that hope? You hope. That punishment would be delayed. But what that did was it would embolden me. It would embolden me to be stupid more.
Amen.
You take that to the grand scale of our justice system today, it's exactly what we see.
Amen.
Because of that, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Look at verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well to the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Listen, you may get away with it here, but you're not going to get away with it there. You're going to get away with it. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. It's always everything in this book from verse 1 all the way to the end. It all funnels to this final point. And we're going to see it over and over again. It all rushes to this final conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Look at verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Life under the sun, life without God. Well, you can live it up, have a good time, be as wicked as you want to, but then you die and it's game over. Except for one problem. That's not the way it is. In reality, it isn't a planet without God. There's more to this world than time and chance and matter. There is a God in heaven who created everything. And so now we look at God under that without understanding that, yeah, we live, but one day we die. And when we die, we face God in judgment. So it changes everything. So I look to the works of God. I see that they're final. I see that they're eternal. I see that they're unchangeable. I see that there is a God in heaven who is going to accomplish his purposes no matter what. So rather than be against God and do wickedness and evil, I want to align myself with him and with his word and with his truth. I want to be on the right side. I want to be on the winning side. I make a choice. It says, I don't want to continue in the way of the world. I want to put myself where God wants me to be. So I turn away from my sin, and I believe in his son, Jesus Christ. And then I fix my eyes on Jesus every day. I acknowledge him in all my ways. And though I may stumble, I get up again by his grace, and I keep moving forward for his purposes, aligning my life, my works, with the works of God. Let's stand together this morning. Invite our musicians to come. While they're coming, I just want you to examine your heart today. See, we're all working. We're all moving forward towards something. I want you to look into your heart today and just ask yourself, is my life day to day, is it aligned with the work of God, with his purposes, with his kingdom? Or am I kind of doing my own thing? I want to challenge you today that in your heart of hearts, you make a decision. I want to get on the Lord's side. I want to align my works, my life, with what God wants me to do. If he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.
Page 559.